This recording is an audio recording of the online benefice service for all the congregations in the Mattershall and Tud Valley benefice, and for some friends in far-off lands who joined us that day. The service took place on Sunday 29th of March 2020 and was our second service of this type. There are a couple of hiccups at least that are included in the recording of the service. Firstly, there are a couple of voices that had not been muted in the opening section, which should have been muted. And secondly, the quality of the recording of the first song was so bad that I have cut it out entirely. The start of the second song was also poor, but partway through the song I realised which setting needed changing, so the quality of the sound improved dramatically at that point. The service sheet and the text of the scripture used are available in the same resource folder as this recording. The reading is from John's Gospel, chapter 11, verses 1 to 45. The leader of the service was Andrew Woods, the reading was by Sue Cossey, the talk was by Ian Bentley, who is the Archdeacon of Lynn, and the praying was led by Sally Fergal. We hope you enjoy listening to the service and find it useful. We would love to have you join us at our next service. Details of that can be found in the online Worship Together section of our website at matvchurch.uk. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. Fantastic that we can all be together. Can everybody hear me all right?
Yeah. Thank you.
Fantastic. This is fantastic. We can all meet together, isn't it? And still come to worship God together. We're going to begin in a moment, and having got over all the excitement of having got connected, let's just have a moment's quiet, and then while Alan gets the liturgy up for the first bit of the service. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. We have come together as the family of God in our Father's presence. Be with us, Lord, as we gather in your name. Direct our thoughts, teach us to pray. Lift up our hearts to worship you in spirit and in truth. Through Jesus Christ,
our Lord. Amen.
And we sing our first song, All Hail the Power. And so we come to say sorry to God. Sometimes we forget that we have been made for relationship with God and to live with him forever. And we choose to live for this life only. So let us come before God to pray for forgiveness. God, our Father, we come to you in sorrow for our sins, for turning away from you and ignoring your will for our lives. Father, forgive us, save us, and help us. For behaving just as we wish without thinking of you. Father, forgive us, save us, and help us. For failing you by what we do and think and say. Father, forgive us. Save us and help us. For letting ourselves be drawn away from you by temptations in the world about us. Father, forgive us. Save us and help us. For letting ourselves be drawn away from you by temptations in the world about us. Father, forgive us, save us, and help us. For living as if we were ashamed to belong to your Son. Father, forgive us, save us, and help us. May the God of love bring us back to himself, forgive us our sins, and assure us of his eternal love in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And we sing together again, Draw Me Close to You. Sue now to bring us our reading from John chapter 11, verses 1 to 45.
Right, we're reading this morning from John's Gospel, chapter 11, about the death of Lazarus. Now, a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. so the sisters sent word to Jesus, "Lord, the one you love is sick." When he heard this, Jesus said, "This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it." Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Yet when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. Then he said to his disciples, "Let us go back to Judea." "But Rabbi," they said, "a short while ago the Jews tried to stone you, and yet you are going back there." Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours of daylight? A man who walks by day will not stumble, for he sees by this world's light. It is when he walks by night that he stumbles, for he has no light." After he had said this, he went on to tell them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there to wake him up." His disciples replied, "Lord, if he sleeps, he will get better." Jesus had been speaking of his death, but his disciples thought he meant natural sleep. So then he told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead, and for your sake, I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him." Then Thomas, called Didymus, said to the rest of the disciples, "Let us also go die with him." On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. "Lord," Martha said to Jesus, "if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now, God will give you whatever you ask." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha answered, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" "Yes, Lord," she told him. "I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who has come into the world." And after she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. "The teacher is here," she said, "and he is asking for you." When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews, who had been with Mary in the house, comforting her, noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. "Where have you laid him?" he asked. "Come and see, Lord," they replied. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of a blind man have kept this man from dying?" Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. "Take away the stone," he said. "But Lord," said Martha, the sister of the dead man, "by this time there is a bad odour, for he has been there 4 days. Then Jesus said, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me." When he said this, Jesus called out in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, "Take off the grave clothes and let him go." Therefore, many of the Jews who had come to visit Mary and had seen what Jesus did put their faith in him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let's pray. Open our hearts, Heavenly Father, as we open your word together, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it's lovely to be with you this morning and without risking the A47. I thought that since we're into a multimedia production here, I ought to have a visual aid. So at vast expense and not inconsiderable risk to life and limb, I've managed to procure this, the humble toilet roll, which seems to have been featuring in our news much more than it ever has done before. We've got an excellent butcher in Reefham, just down the road from where we live in Sparham. And just before the lockdown, he had a board outside saying, two tickets for a holiday in Rome in exchange for 25 rolls of toilet paper. Well, why do I share that particular thing now? It's because in the days when Caroline and I ran youth groups, in the days when we were doing holiday clubs and I was doing school assemblies, that sort of thing, if ever I had this story to explain to people, I would start with a game which involved toilet paper. And you probably know it. You get people in pairs and one has to wrap up the other in toilet paper like a mummy, like an Egyptian mummy. And then people have to jump in a race. You don't do it now because you will be wasting precious resources. And that may seem a very flippant introduction to the story, but it got people's attention. Now here, on the eve of the crucifixion of Jesus, when the world kills God, the whole thing is certainly not flippant. And that's what we look at for a few moments this morning. We need to understand something of John's gospel. Those of you who look at these things will know that John's gospel was written after the other three. It is very well crafted. And everything is there for a particular reason and put together for a particular reason. And in the gospel, there are seven signs that speak to the work of Jesus and seven I ams, which speak about who Jesus actually is. And this event contains both a sign, it is a sign, and it contains an I am, as you have heard. Now, in this present state of national emergency, as it's now being called, which is, I guess, a defining event of our generation, I think this event, some 2,000 years ago, speaks particularly into our thoughts and our fears, but also our hopes. And I'm going to draw out just three. And the first is this, verse 5. Accordingly, though Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, after having heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Jesus delays. Why? Why does he delay? When he eventually arrives at Bethany, it's 4 days after Lazarus has died. Why? Why does he delay? I don't know how you are. I'm the sort of person that if I'm given a problem, I like to try and sort it out straight away. I remember a conversation with Caroline, my wife, where she explained something that was happening, and immediately I piled in and she said, "I don't want you to solve it. I just want you to listen." A desire to get things sorted out, a desire to instantly get answers. And so when bad things happen to us in our lives, you will know the questions. Why has this happened? Why has God allowed it? Why me? What have I done to deserve this? And you get a glimpse of that from both Martha and Mary. Mary in verse 32 said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Much is spoken about intervention at the moment, intervention at the right time by the government. And we always want God to intervene, don't we, in our lives to make our life right, if at all possible. And we want it to happen now. We want it to happen according to our own agenda. God has his own agenda. Now, don't get me wrong, I don't believe God has sent this virus. I do know, however, that he has the power to stop it. And we as Christian people should be praying and praying into this and asking for intervention. But we don't have the mind of God. I do believe that God can bring good out of it, which I know sounds harsh, but I'm sure we've all seen that. More about that in a moment. But it reminds us all of this delay on Jesus's part is that our worlds are very small. And why we say we believe in eternity and that we believe that these lives that we live now are just a prelude to that which is to come, really, in every way possible, we demonstrate the opposite. Jesus delays because he has another agenda. He says to Martha, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? Something else is going on." It is a signpost to what Jesus is doing. Not really about Lazarus in many respects. After all, he will die again. But it's about Jesus, and it's about faith, our response in faith to him. Jesus delays. Jesus weeps, the shortest verse in the Bible, verse 35. And this is a time of great grief. It may have touched some of you. It's a time of crisis. It's a time of great anxiety. People are in distress. I've had sort of emails that I never really expected over this time. And of course, complaints about church closure, distress to people's grief, which has been disrupted, caused by the restrictions upon funerals. And so it goes, real grief. And there's real grief here. When Jesus saw Mary weeping, verse 33, and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. "Where have you laid him? Come and see," they say. Jesus wept. Now, Jesus may have another agenda, but he shares our sorrow. How can he do that? Because the Son of Man, he has felt it. You know, it's so easy to have a superficial view, really, of incarnation. Pictures of a perfect baby sleeping in a clean manger surrounded by smiling cows is a million miles away from what incarnation really is. God stepping into our world in human physical form and proceeding through 33 long years to walk with us, to experience human emotion, to be at the center of the petty disputes of the disciples and all the rest of what he would have felt as we feel. And then that led, of course, to the horror of a death that wasn't just physical, but it was spiritual. It separated him from his Father in a severance that rips at the heart of the universe. The Word of God made flesh, destroyed by those he came to love and to serve. Now, what we experience is hard at the present, and some of you will be experiencing the horror of this within your families and friendships, as indeed we are, worried about the family of our daughter, Hannah, and our grandchild, Violet, who are in Spain at the moment. Violet has a cough, and that might be a normal cough, but there's anxiety. What we experience is hard at the present, and it seems that it will get harder. But Jesus has walked a harder path and will walk this one with us. He delays, he weeps, and then verse 25, the I am. I am the resurrection and the life. And this is the miracle, of course, of Lazarus that signposts to a greater miracle that will happen in a few days after this event, and which will reveal exactly who Jesus is. He is the resurrection and the life. Lazarus, as I've already said, would die again. But Jesus would die and pass through death to rise for all eternity, and therefore prove that he is the resurrection and the life for every man, woman, girl, and boy who opens their life to him. And as a result of what people see in Lazarus, the miracle, so people believe. Verse 45, many of the Jews, therefore, who had come with Mary and had seen what Jesus did, believed in him. God brings resurrection out of crucifixion. In salvation, the greatest miracle that any of us can receive, being born again into the kingdom of God, knowing without any doubt that for all eternity we will be with God. The greatest miracle and all of the forgiveness that comes with it. But God brings resurrection out of crucifixion in life events. We've seen it, haven't we, in our communities. One of the things I've been able to do is to be having the time to ring round all of the clergy and four of the deaneries. The bishop and I are sharing them between us. And the stories I hear of what the church is doing in communities at the moment, out of crucifixion. Even the earth, some people are saying, is healing through this. The skies above China clearing, if reports online are accurate, and all sorts of things happening as the earth pauses in a sense. Resurrection out of crucifixion, it brings perspective to our lives as well. What's important? I think we're all finding that, aren't we, in our homes, amongst our families and friends as we connect with them. And our church has had to change. And I hope that that particular resurrection out of crucifixion, that there is much that we will learn through this, and we will come out at the other end better, more well-equipped to serve God in this our generation. So the psalmist says, if we walk by faith, then even though we walk through the shadow of death, and that's a little bit what it feels like at the moment, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. There is resurrection and life in Jesus. There is hope. And just remember, Jesus said to Martha, did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? Let's pray that the glory of God is seen in these days, and ask that we might each be part of sharing that glory of God in the coming days. Amen.
Thank you so much, Ian. We're going to declare our faith now. Please join with me as we say, we believe in God the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. We believe in God the Son, who lives in our hearts through faith and fills us with his love. We believe in God the Holy Spirit, who strengthens us with power from on high. We believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. I'm going to hand over to Sally now, who is going to lead us in our prayers.
Let us pray. Loving Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for bringing us together today as we find new ways of being church together. May we be assured of your love for us all, and may we continue to find practical ways of expressing that love in this time of self-isolation, separation, and social distancing. In this new way of being, may we experience your presence and peace. Life-giving Lord,
hear us, we pray.
We pray for our government and leaders around the world as they seek to guard and guide us and seek to contain the spread of COVID-19. With grateful hearts, we pray for all those in the front line, for those serving one another, for the NHS and emergency services, for those working to bring food to our tables. May we show our gratitude and support by shopping wisely and acting responsibly. Life-giving Lord,
hear us,
we pray. We lift to you those who are fearful and concerned for loved ones, for those who are uncertain of what tomorrow brings. Lord, help us to live for today. Help us to see your hand in the beauty around us, in the time with family, and in the new experiences and things we can enjoy that we haven't had time for in our busy lives. Life-giving Lord,
hear us,
we pray. Loving Heavenly Father, we bring to you those we know to be in any kind of need today, that they may feel your love, that you may fill them and their homes with your presence. And we pause to lift from our hearts those we know that need the Lord's touch on their lives. And loving Father, we lift to you those who are mourning the loss of loved ones. We give you the family and friends of our dear Geraldine. We pray for the community of North Tottenham in the loss of Jill Greaves. And we pray for the family of Alec Allam, whom we laid to rest on Friday. Lord, we are your resurrection people. Help us to live in this truth, to speak your word of hope, to know your promise of eternal life, and to rejoice in the love we have for you at the centre of our lives. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you, Sally. I'm going to continue in our prayers. And this is the collect for today, the fifth Sunday of Lent. Most merciful God, who by the death and resurrection of your Son Jesus Christ delivered and saved the world, grant that by faith in him who suffered on the cross, we may triumph in the power of his victory. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. And we say together the prayer the Lord himself taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Amen. In a moment, we're going to sing our final hymn together, O Praise the Name of the Lord. Before we do, I just want to say thank you very much to Ian for being with us, to Sally and Sue for the roles that they played in reading and praying, and thank you, Alan, for holding us all together. And so we sing, O Praise the Name of the Lord.
Where Jesus bled and died for me, I see his wounds, his hands. my Saviour on that cursed tree. His body bowed and drenched in tears, they laid him down in Joseph's tomb, the entrance sealed by heavy stone. Messiah still and all alone. Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise His name forevermore. For endless days we will sing Your praise.
In the week ahead, we will all have reason to praise the name of our Lord. And so a final prayer together. To a troubled world, peace from Christ. To a searching world, love from Christ. To a waiting world, hope from Christ. May God give to us and to all we love His comfort and peace, His light and His joy in this world and the next. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Thank you so much for being here. I think Alan's going to leave us switched on for a bit if we want to talk to one another.
Go do my tea.
I've got somebody here, but I don't know who it is. Hello.
Lady from here.
See somebody.
We call Nicola.
Where's Nicholas?
Bye, everyone, and keep safe.
Bye.
Love to you all.
Bye. Bye from Nicola and Rose. Bye. 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 Bye.